Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again, to that place where we actually talk about the real issues that men face. And if we were going to talk about the issues that are taking place in this room right at this moment in time, we'd be talking about anxiety. We'd be talking about, oh my gosh, I don't know how to get this all done before I've got to do this, before I got to do that. And in the studio with me today, that... He's the anxious guy. He's very peaceful at this moment in time.
I'll tell you what, you prayed over me before the show, and it was just...
And then the producer prayed over us.
And I'll tell you what, I need that prayer, and thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
And, you know, it's awesome. Well, I'll talk more about that in just a minute. I'll let you finish your intro.
Oh, the intro's done.
Oh, the intro's done.
These guys have heard this long enough, and if they're new to it, they're going to realize, hey, man, is this Christian radio talk? What is this? You know? Yeah, it is. We've got a couple of guys here who love the Lord. They're seeking Him. We're not perfect, but we like to be able to share with other men our experiences on topics that don't necessarily get spoke at or spoke from the pulpit and everything. And so it's about letting men know, you guys, that you're not alone in this walk, and that there is an opportunity of being able to enjoy this life, especially knowing that you're not alone and that there are others that are experiencing the same thing. That doesn't bring sometimes a whole lot of comfort, but sometimes as a result of what we talk about, you end up hearing a solution. And it's not because we give it to you, it's because the Holy Spirit gives it to you. So... there you go.
All right. Well, usually at this point, you ask me if I have something to encourage you guys with.
I introduce who's here.
Okay. Hi, I'm Eric.
You're Mib.
Mib, the man in brown.
The man in brown. And you're going on vacation?
I am.
You're taking the family down south, very south.
Really far south. Yeah, down to Playa del Carmen, Mexico. It's a little south of Cancun. Pretty excited.
So if you guys go to Playa del Carmen, look Eric up. Well, you're there. He'll answer any of your questions.
I don't speak Spanish, though, just so you know.
Well, these guys who are listening don't speak Spanish either.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah, yes. Okay, anyway.
Okay. Well, anyway, encouragement. And now the encouragement that I was thinking of today is actually about prayer. So we were talking about prayer at the very beginning. I'm just like, you know, wow, this is so apropos. Well, there's a $5 word.
$5.50.
Makes me sound smart.
Let us be the judge of that.
Hope I pronounced it right. Okay. Anyway, so I was thinking about the power of prayer, and this is so amazing because if we look in the book of James, chapter 5. It says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Now, I've just been overwhelmed recently with the knowledge that when we pray, we are actually talking directly to the one who spoke the universe into existence, okay? Mm-hmm. This big, awesome God, you know, full of love, full of power, completely holy, and yet, you know, little Eric and little Raul, when we can come to him in prayer by the blood of Jesus, we can enter into the Holy of Holies and right before the throne of God and bring to him all of our prayers and concerns. And it's just amazing that when we pray, we are actually talking to the creator of all things, which is really, really cool. But one of the things that we get stuck in our heads is that it's, you know, it's the pastor or this mature Christian that you've known for years, that it's those people whose prayers are powerful and effective, right? Yes. Because the power of a righteous person is powerful mm-hmm. and effective, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it says. But what we don't realize is that anybody who is in Christ has been made righteous by the blood of Christ. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 1 minute or for 50 years. Your prayers have the same audience with the Father. It doesn't matter. You see, so we don't have to seek out the pastor to pray over us. We can seek out a humble friend who's a new Christian. As believers ourselves, we can have that same confidence that, hey, you know what? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm the righteous guy that's being talked about in this verse. It may not feel like it sometimes, but it's true because the Word of God says it's true, that He has made me righteous, and my prayers are powerful and effective, even to the point of being powerful and effective just like Elijah's prayer. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it rained. You go, mm-hmm. okay? Now, we have the same audience with God that Elijah had. And so I just want to encourage the guys that, yes, our prayers are powerful and effective. And, you know, the best way to get those prayers heard by God is to actually pray them. You know, we have so many obstacles to prayer in our life, so many doubts or you know, time considerations or whatever, you know, might come up against our coming to God in prayer. The enemy doesn't want us to be in prayer to God because, you know, this is the place where the Christian has communion with God and grows in his love for God is in this place of prayer. So the enemy will try and keep us from it. But I just want to encourage you guys, the best way to pray is to pray. And that's it. There you go.
Okay, I'm going to slam that one.
Are you?
No, not really.
Okay.
Because you're going on vacation. But I will say this, the Word of God, because I would not be doing what I believe I need to say here, when it comes to prayer, God doesn't listen to all the prayers. His Word says that. Okay? In Proverbs, he says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the consistently righteous, the upright in right standing with him." And there, I know there's a couple other places where he talks about that. Those that are in continual sin, that your prayers are not being heard. And there's a reason for that. And yet, I understand what you're saying, because I believe when it comes down to it, it doesn't mean that we have to have a certain number of things in order for that. And I think that's true. But I believe also, too, that if I were in a... and I'll call it a secret sin or in a sin that's taking place in my life that I continually do on a daily basis, okay, or in a manner, that, you know, that's a sin against God. And for me to be praying and asking for something that while I'm in the midst of that in my life, Bible kind of is pretty clear in some cases here where it talks about that it's not being heard by Him. And I think that's why it's even more effective when it comes from a humble heart, that not just for that moment in time, but in our lives, you know, that we're actually reverent and seeking Him in doing that. I think that's part of the problem that I used to have when I used to have a sinful life going on, and I pray for someone that I love and wanting them to be healed or something to be taking place in their life. There might be a reason why that never took place, okay? And I'm not saying it's because of that I'm that important that my prayer wasn't heard, because there are other prayers that are being sent up also. But I don't know those individuals either. I don't know their heart. Most of us don't. So I just want to just mention to that. But I didn't slam dunk that, did I?
Because the whole idea is that we have been made righteous, and it says
yes.
In 1 John that if we ask anything according to His will, mm-hmm. He hears us.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And this is one of those promises of God. Now we have to remember that it says according to His will.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that is being, you know, in
and if
His
we're doing,
will.
And if we're doing His will, guess what we're doing in the rest of our life? We can't help but attempt to be righteous and doing the right thing in all areas of our life. And, you know, God knows that.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to pray for things in His will, yet to live in your own.
Yeah. It's kind of like accepting it and just saying, okay, you know. Anyway, that's a topic of its own.
Yeah, it could be. You know, it could be, yeah.
And we might have to talk about that when you come back from your vacation, when you're all rested up.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't want you coming back with a lot of anxiety and everything now.
Oh, I don't think so.
Bring some maracas back. Come on, I'd like to have a set of maracas.
You want some maracas?
No, don't bring back any
maracas. Some maracas.
Don't buy them on Amazon and send them to me. Made in Mexico. All right. Good. Hey, good stuff. Good. Anyway, so let's get into this topic that we were wanted to kind of. You know what? We're not going to come up with great answers, or I shouldn't say great answers, but finished product here. But we're going to get an idea of a difference between loyalty and commitment, okay? And what that means in our lives, in our relationship with the Lord, in our relationship with maybe our spouse or with our wife, if we're married, with our children, with our work, you know? And I want to be able to kind of spin this around a little bit because I think it's something that we haven't talked about in a while. I know that you and I don't believe we've talked about it.
I don't think we have talked about this topic.
So, but I think it's something that it comes down to it. What is it that this means when we make a commitment? I want to just kind of kick it off here with something on that I pull up on the internet here. You know, today's world is so different. Before, you know, we'd be in books and everything trying to get something. Now we just Google it and it comes up with different areas that you can actually find the answers to. They're faith-based areas, some are secular, but anyway. So if we go to the dictionary meanings, commitment means making a promise to someone or agreeing to do something and then fulfilling it. Okay? That's the meaning of commitment. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a promise. Yes, I'll pick you up right after work. I'll be there at 3 o'clock, right? Yes, I'll
right.
be
that's,
there.
That's a commitment.
That's a commitment. Okay? On the other hand, loyalty means faithfulness to an individual or a company or a cause, okay? So that means that we'll use a simple example of loyal to your wife. I will never sin against you. I will always make you number one in my life. Jesus first, then you. But I'll always have you at the top up there.
Right. And so when we're standing up there at the altar, right, and we're
yes.
and we're making our vows to each other,
yes.
you know, that right there is we're making the commitment, right?
Well, actually, you're making the commitment, but you're
Because of your loyalty to the individual.
Yes, yes. Because you want to be faithful. In other words, you want them to know that they can trust what you're saying is true, which has an awful lot to do with our character, okay,
mm-hmm.
and who we really are,
and that creates some issues because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it?
And you know, and so often, if we look at ourselves, when we get to that place of making, I don't know about you, but I was a pretty good liar. So I thought finally caught up with me. Okay, I used to lie all the time to be able to say the things that I believe people wanted to hear so that I would get what I desired.
Yeah, right? And then you had to lie to cover up the lie.
The lie, and remember then, who you lied to about what
yeah,
lie.
Yeah, keep your lies straight.
I was very organized.
did you have a little notebook?
I had a file and a
told
subfile.
Lie to Fred.
So all I did to save all that is I just lied to everybody. Oh, my gosh. I can laugh about that now, but it put me in a position in my life to where all of a sudden, who am I? What am I to people? And especially when I got caught, when things were, you know, I was cornered and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now, I made decisions that would, in some cases, really, if not destroy a relationship, would really impede it. Okay, in progressing into something more, especially with someone close to you. And I did that, you know. But I know I'm not alone because when I've
right.
shared that sort of thing, all of a sudden I had other men say, man, I can relate with that. And, you know, all of a sudden it just kind of goes from there. But this thing on commitment and or, you know, where it says that we make a promise to someone or agreeing to do something and then fulfilling it. I made tons of commitments. That's like saying, I mean, I used commitment and loyalty the same as I used to say, I'm sorry. You know, after a while, it didn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start making commitment and then you don't hold up to that commitment, like if I said, I'm going to pick you up at 3 o'clock, I'll be there. And then if I'm not there and it's not till like 3:45 and you've been trying to get a hold of me, should I take a bus? Should I call a taxi? Should I call somebody else to come pick me up? You know, and but finally I show up and say, oh, man, I'm sorry. I got carried away with what I was doing. And I didn't forget. I just couldn't get here any sooner.
Right.
How many more times are you going to ask me to come pick you up, right?
Well, if I don't have a car.
No, but you might, I know what you're talking about. You'll look for another means of being able to get that taken
I'm
care of.
You're going to find somebody who's going to be more reliable.
Exactly. Wow, reliable? Mm. That builds character too, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you know, we will have we'll always seem to come at it with an excuse, right? It's like, oh, you know, the traffic was bad, or, you know, and a lot of times these excuses that we come up with themselves are lies.
Yes. But see, you know? I never use the word excuse. I used to always tell people, this is the reason why, because I wanted to sound different than excuse, because an excuse sounds like you're already guilty. But no, this is the reason that I did this, you know, as if I'm trying to justify it, because I'm using the word reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's reasonable that I was 45 minutes late in picking you up. I mean, it's reasonable, you know. Anyway, so
the problem was with your commitment, because your heart was divided then, right? Because you had your own thing that you're doing, and so we because we've made the commitment, we go and we fulfill the commitment, but we do it on our own terms instead of what the commitment originally was, right?
Right.
You know, so, and that just because of our own heart, which can be so incredibly self-centered that the heart seeks after itself, you know, to have its own desires. And, you know, if I'm, you know, we use this example of, you know, going to pick someone up again, you know, we got the commitment. If I'm doing something before that time that is, you know, enjoyable to me and I don't want to stop doing it, right? Then the reason that I'm late is because I've chosen to follow Eric's desires rather than to make good on the commitment that I've made, right?
Right.
And, you know, in James, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yes.
You know, when we say that we're going to do something, you know, go and do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you so know? Often, you know, we're reminded of things that the Lord reminds us as far as commands that he gives us and how to make commitments in a certain sense. You know, he reminds us in, I believe it's in Matthew 22, where he says, he's talking about the greatest commandment. He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Mm-hmm.
That's a commitment. That's what he wants us to do. He said, you want to assure everything in your life is going to go the way I'd like it to go? Seek me first, above all things. Even your spouse, everything, your work, everything. Him first. Yeah. And in doing so, things will all of a sudden, that means I'm going to seek him with everything I got, all my mind, right? So that means everything that's going on, any questions, decisions that have to be made, I'm going to seek him. You know, any pain in my life, I'm going to seek him. Any confusion in my life, I'm going to seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So as a result of doing that, what ends up taking place is all of a sudden I am now committed to him. Okay? And now, as a result of being committed, I end up finding out that I can become loyal as a result of that. Okay? And so often I end up in a sense of knowing that this is exactly what I need to be able to do, or ought to do, I should say.
Yeah. Well, you know, after Jesus said, you know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, or I think I got that a little bit wrong.
You got it correct, though.
Okay. But then he goes on and he says something else.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and the second is like it, because he's talking about, you know, what's the greatest commandment?
Right.
You know, the Pharisees are trying to to pin him down and make him flub up,
mm-hmm.
right? And then says, and the second is like it. And they didn't expect him to say, and the second is like it.
That's right.
He says, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the self-love is implied, right?
Yes.
Because that's just the way we are. We love ourselves.
Well,
but what Jesus is trying to get at is to love your neighbor as yourself, to have that same regard for yourself that you that
for the others
for the other person that you do for yourself.
Right.
You know, in other places we're told to consider others above ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same message that it's like it's to get over the self. It's about self-denial and loving others.
Yes.
Right? And this is that, you know, back to that commitment, you know.
Right.
Am I committed to loving others, or am I, you know, committed to my own desires and my own needs?
Well, but let's be clear about this, because the Lord, again, he wants us to have a, you know, clear mind and to be able to do things. He doesn't mean that if you've got a place to live and somebody else doesn't, that you have them move in and you move out. No, he wants you to take, in other words, if you're hungry, you eat something, right? So if you saw somebody hungry and you have a means of being able to help them out, you give them something to eat. If they are cold or if you are cold, you're going to put a jacket on or something to help keep you warm, a blanket or something. If you see somebody who is cold and you have the means of being able to take care of that, then you do that for them, okay? So it's not saying that you need to swap places. That's not, you know, the Lord wants to be able to use you. And if you're out shivering and you don't have any food and cold, now you're going to be waiting for somebody to come up to you to give you something. The point being is that he wants us to, it's not a love for self like, hey, look at me, I'm so good at this. And I, you know, no, it's not a self-centered type of love we're talking about. We're talking about that love of caring for somebody else, right?
Yeah, and James compares it to if you say, you know, go and be warmed, you know, and you don't actually do anything for the person, you know, there's no love that's been demonstrated there. Right. So you're right. And, you know, as you know, in the position that we're in, you know, both of us are homeowners and both of us have food in the refrigerator. You're right. It doesn't mean that I'm supposed to go out on the street and then take the homeless person and put them in my house. Right, it's about, you know, serving that person with, you know, with love and meeting needs.
Right, okay? and being
and if I were if
wisdom
I were to just,
discernment,
yeah, if I were just to know. Switch places,
yeah.
You know, then you know, God has equipped me as somebody who, you know, has a strong back, and I go to work and I earn money, and because I earn money, I'm in a position to help other people.
Right. Exactly.
You know, if I'm just to give everything up in that regard, then no longer am I able to do the things that God has called me to do.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So, yeah, you're exactly right. It's not just about trading places, so
yes.
to speak.
Yes. Let's take a break, and let's come back, and let's continue on this track. Let's move this commitment and loyalty we're talking about in a sense here. But what does it look like to being a follower of Jesus Christ or a disciple of Jesus? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Are you happy with your speed of internet service? Whether it's your home connection that's a concern or whether the internet service at your business is less than ideal, StarTouch Broadband Services may well be your answer. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider since 1998, and they are rapidly becoming the choice of high-speed internet service for both homes and companies all over Washington State. If you're looking for a super-fast connection, StarTouch has the affordable answer. The business class wireless broadband packages offered by StarTouch provide speeds incredibly faster than T1 speeds. from 3 megabytes per second up to 1,000 megabytes. Check out StarTouch at their website, startouch.com, and get on board with no-hassle, high-speed internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services.
And it seems like no one in this whole world cares. And you want to get away from the madness. You just call my name and I'll be there. You just call my name and I'll be there.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and I'm over here talking to Eric during the break. And so you got everybody taking care of the house and the dog and everything. He said, "Yeah, we got a sitter." So you want me to do a drive-by, man? You know,
make sure that there's not 20 people in the house, and
yeah, the lights are on, and there's one of those
beer cases on the roof, and the whole deal. Oh no, wait, that was me as a teenager. Okay, anyway, there we go. So, a little transparency.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. And you'll be having a good time. You don't have to worry about anything. It'll all be good. We're not trying to give you more things to be anxious about. Yeah, coming back and just make sure that it gets vacuumed before you show up. Anyway. So often we end up as followers of Jesus Christ having to make a commitment to Him.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it's all about.
In making this commitment to the Lord, how do you know when you're ready? Yeah, and I'm asking you, besides what the Word says in a sense, how do you, in your take, for someone who is saying, but I think I've made a commitment, but I don't know if I've made a commitment because I still want to keep doing some of these things. I want to do a little bit of, you know, I still want to keep some of these relationships alive because I know that most people are saying, I don't, if I'm a Christian, then all of a sudden I'm not going to want to do some of the things that they want to do. I won't enjoy the same jokes. I won't go to the same places. I may not even party as much as they would mm-hmm. like me to or as I used to. So how do I know if I've really made a commitment to God rather than just one day a week, you know?
Well, here it comes down to this, you know, do you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and have you confessed with your mouth that he is Lord? You know, that's what it says you said besides what it says in the Scriptures. I couldn't help it.
Well,
I just went to the Scriptures.
I think you know what I meant, though.
So, you know, we have to just believe that what the Bible says is true. And the Bible also tells us that we are, you know, being sanctified. And that means that we are becoming more like Christ, and our desires change over time. Now, just because we have come to Christ doesn't mean that all of our old desires are gone. You know, mm-hmm. I came to Christ a number of years ago. I still have a whole bunch of desires that I wish I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't mean that I'm not in Christ.
Right.
You know, it means that I am being sanctified by God. And I thank God that a lot of the desires that I had before, I don't have anymore. You know, I used to smoke marijuana. I don't have any desire to smoke marijuana anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, praise
mm-hmm.
God. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these are the things that God will deal with us, you know, over time.
Right.
You know, so, but because it says in Scripture that God takes away the heart of stone and mm-hmm. replaces it with the heart of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That heart that we have, you know, our minds, we still only know that one way of living.
Yes.
You know, and that's where we are drawn back to because we're drawn to what we know.
Mm-hmm.
As we come to Christ, we start to know who God is, and we love Him more and more, and we want to do things His way more and more. And you know, through that process, we say, hey, you know what? I just realized that this thing that I've been doing over here on my left,
mm-hmm.
that's not what God's desire for me is.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I'm going to turn away from that, and I'm going to do things God's way. That's repentance.
Yes. But so often when we end up, and I'll speak for myself, but I also see it and have heard the experiences of other men that's have experienced like this, of finally getting to that place of accepting Jesus as not only my Savior, but as my Lord, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we all have that moment where all of a sudden it all comes crashing down, man. We were at the very bottom of, I don't have anything else to hold on
right.
to. I've got, Jesus got to be the one because of what you guys, I want to believe what you guys say is true, and I'm going to give it all to him, and I'm just going to trust in him, okay?
Yeah, because so, every time that I've tried to do it myself in my way,
it hasn't worked.
A big old failure.
Right. And so I'm going to try. I'm going to go this route and do it your way. And so I submit myself to the Lord, and I ask him for forgiveness. And he knows my heart, and I've actually desired to change from living that, seeking those other desires in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now my life is, I feel different. Something has happened. Okay.
Yeah, that's the confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord.
Yes.
It's easy to say, Jesus, be my Savior,
yes.
especially when we think that we still get to keep
say,
everything
yeah.
the way that it was before, so yeah. I just get the best of both worlds,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But there is only one world, and that's the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You know, and that's something that,
well, that's
that it takes. But when we say Jesus is Lord, that's the commitment, you know, when... Because I am saying, hey, you know what? I am not Lord anymore. I am going to submit myself to Christ and say he is Lord, and I am committed to him and to do things his way.
I almost think that it's more becoming loyal to him at that time. Yet I think we voice it like a commitment, that this is it, but I'm actually becoming loyal to him, saying I want this. It, which goes in line with the point I wanted to make, is because you, generally what ends up happening with those who first accept the Lord this way, and they come to a new awareness and say, boom, this is it, and they feel really good, and that day or whatever period of time that that is, it's like, ah, I just a new man. I know that I am not only forgiven, I feel I'm forgiven, and but then all of a sudden, within 24 hours sometimes, or even less than that, when the crowd dissipates and no longer you're between just you, yourself,
mm-hmm.
and I, mm-hmm. so to speak, all of a sudden, you start hearing the whispers. You start hearing the things. You didn't really mean that. You didn't really think that God is in you. Why did you say that? You didn't really mean that, because you're going to be missing out on all these other things that we've been doing. And we had some big plans for you. Those are all lies from the enemy, right?
Right.
And those are the ones that will keep coming at us, because he doesn't want us to have a relationship with Jesus. He wants us to break that commitment or think that there was never a commitment. Okay? That, oh, you only think that he could forgive you, but you've created such horrendous sins, so you might as well just come and join the party here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but those are all the lies.
Yeah, the enemy is so crafty, and he's patient. You know, he will wait for the right moment. I've noticed that even if he has to wait for years,
yes,
he will wait for years and then start to slowly draw you away. It's kind of like getting a wedge in.
Yes.
You know, you get that little wedge in, and like, say, between the door and the door jamb. And then that door can't close all the way, and he just
yes.
keeps on tapping it,
yes.
you know, until that gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger and says, okay, you know.
But sometimes we take it, those lies and the enemy's continued temptations. I mean, temptations keep coming. They're not going to stop coming because you've
That's
accepted
right.
the Lord, okay, as your Jesus as your Lord and Savior. They're going to probably, if anything else, increase. And we start thinking mm-hmm. that, well, maybe I didn't really make a commitment because I still have these things going on. No, no, that's also a lie, okay?
Amen.
The fact is that you are a renewed person. You've been forgiven, okay? What the enemy wants is for you to go ahead and continue on with this that same lifestyle that you had before. Okay, you can have Jesus as your committed Savior, but you know what? We're partying this weekend, and we're looking forward to seeing you. And it's going to be a good time because we've got this, this, and this, and this, this, and this. All these things that you've desired before are going to be there.
Right. You know, and that's the thing is once we are in Christ, we are in Christ.
Yes.
You know, and because God knows the sheep that are his, right?
Mm-hmm.
The enemy, though, he doesn't want anybody else coming to faith in Christ, and he will do whatever he can to destroy our testimony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so he will try and draw us away from the commitment that we've made to Christ and try to make us seem disloyal. And when people see that, they're like, I don't want anything to do with that.
Yes.
You know, that's not the God that I want to, you know, be a part of. I don't want to be a part of that kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of the way the enemy works. He's crafty like that because he wants to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Let's take a break, our last break, and then we'll come back and talk about this sort of thing, how this thing, commitment and loyalty, we're talking about it as our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. And what does loyalty look like?
Let's see what the loyalty looks like, and then we'll get to talk about how this applies into our relationship with our spouse, with our wives. What does that look like? Are there going to be temptations even after the commitment there? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Memorials represent unique, permanent, historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments, which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one of a kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at cascademonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments.
God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and Mib and Raul in the studio, and that's Man in Brown, anyway.
Yep, Man.
Man in Brown, mud covered. Anyway, so we're talking about commitment and loyalty, and you'd mentioned something about loyalty that you wanted to talk about that. I was going to say something else, but... Do you remember what yours
was?
Well,
I was saying, you know, what does loyalty look like? What, you know, what is loyalty? You know, because we've talked about commitment and how it's, you know, like this, an agreement or saying that you're, you know, going to do a thing. But then comes loyalty.
Yes.
You know, and so what does loyalty look like? I think one of the best examples of loyalty is in the story of Ruth.
Mm.
Where,
oh, yes.
Where Ruth says to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and
right.
your people and your God will be my God.
Yes.
You know, this is an amazing story because Ruth left everything that she had in Moab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, her husband died, but everything that she knew was back there, and she, you know, was committed to Naomi,
yes.
her mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
and was extremely loyal to her and followed her back to where was it? Bethlehem, I think it was Bethlehem.
I don't recall. I don't recall. But anyway, yes. But she was loyal in going wherever she wanted to go. And anyway, so this another loyalty was Nathan and David.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, close friends, fast yes. friends.
Yes. Or Jonathan and David.
Yes, Jonathan,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
I knew what you were saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nathan, of course, was the one who came to David and gave him the example. What do you think of this, King David? You know?
And that was loyalty
yes.
to God.
Nathan
was showing loyalty to God
exactly.
Despite the cost to his friendship.
Exactly. And yet, this is what we want to be able to have with our Lord. Okay, the same type of loyalty that we saw the examples here, but in our lives today as men And we'll just use men who are married, okay? How do you show your loyalty to your wife? Well, one, I believe, is that you always honor her and respect her, and that you show that by the way that you talk to her, the way that you treat her, okay? And especially in front of other people, but not just in front of other people, because I've been one of those where I'd act like that in front of other people.
Yeah, right.
But when behind closed doors, it's totally different, okay? But at all times, okay, that we are like that, okay? Showing that your children, that you're loyal to their mom is by loving her, okay? By her being, whether you going up and kissing her or hugging her in front of the kids, not making a big deal. Say, hey, look, I'm going to hug your mom. No, by just doing that so that they would see. That makes them feel more secure in the family unit. Look at that. Mom and dad love each other.
And we can also find ourselves falling into the trap of doing the opposite, where we demonstrate bits of disloyalty to our spouses, where, you know, say we're walking down the sidewalk and a female jogger goes past and the kids see me, you know, turn and look at the jogger, right? Well, all of a sudden my kids are watching me and my kids see that, wait a minute, dad's heart is divided.
Yes.
You know, he said that he was committed to mom.
That's right.
And he's looking at this other girl. Why is he doing that?
Yeah.
You know? And that's, you know, that's demonstrating disloyalty to our kids. And unfortunately, kids, well, it can be fortunate also, but in this case, it's unfortunate because kids learn from their parents what their parents did.
Yeah.
You know, so my son sees that and he thinks that this is the way their marriage is supposed to be.
Yeah. And it's okay.
He says one thing, but his eyes go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I love you, but look at that.
Yeah. But this can also be a good thing that kids learn from the parents in this way, because if we make the decision to do things not the way our parents did, but to do things the way that God says that we should do, it's like, okay, so I've made a commitment to my wife and I'm going to be loyal to her. Some distraction goes past, and I keep my focus on my loyalty, you know, to my wife. Well, my kids learned from that as well.
You know, so often if we put up boundaries in what we do, okay, how we talk to people, how we look at people, how we treat other people, and if we become transparent with our family members, okay, in other words, like our children, when they become all your kids are, they make adult choices now. They really do. Your youngest one, Lily, is how old is she?
She's 12.
She's 12. She's actually making adult choices in today's world. Mm-hmm. Okay, should I watch this or not watch this, or should I do this or that, or should I, whatever? So they're actually as young as 12 making adult choices. I have a grandson that's 13. Okay, he's making adult choices. Now, as a result of that, when we as fathers, okay, or as husbands, and we go to our children and and say, listen, if you ever see me look like this towards somebody else, or if you ever hear me talk like this or a certain way, and have them keep you accountable. I tell you what, that gives them responsibility. Say, oh, dad's let me speak into his life. Now, you're going to say, well, why should I give that right to my kid? Why not? Because you're not going to do those things, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, why wouldn't we want to, humble ourselves in front of our kids?
So all the more reason that we ought to move forward on that sort of thing and bring them in and saying, hey, listen, I need your help to help me. So when this starts to happen, and I say that because you're going on vacation. Yeah. You're going to be on the beach. It's going to be hot and sunny, and your son's going to be maybe near you and say, hey, son, if you see me looking inappropriately anywhere, throw sand in my face. Okay? And Jay, hear that? Do that. But anyway, that's my point, is that all of a sudden then they feel like, okay, now if you're doing that with me, that's kind of like the iron sharpens iron.
Really, yeah, I was going to say it's like having fellowship with your family.
Yes, yes. You
know? And we are called to be in fellowship all the time. The book of Hebrews says, don't neglect gathering together as is a habit of some, but all the more and encouraging each other as we see the day of Christ drawing near.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I don't think I got it exactly right. You got the ESV version, the Eric Standard version. Raul gets the RSV version.
Yes, the Raul's simple version. But anyway, the fact is that these sort of things, when we look at wanting to be loyal to those that we've made a commitment to, okay, we have to put boundaries up ourselves so that we realize, and the Lord does that. When the more we seek Him, the more we realize these are the boundaries He's saying, don't go here, don't go there. Don't look at a woman lustfully. Don't speak a lie to a neighbor, okay? Don't envy what your neighbor has, okay? Don't look at what others are doing in the dark and wish that you were able to do that sort of thing. You know, He gives us the boundaries that we need to uphold in our lives, okay? As a result of that, we become even more loyal and committed to Him. Then we realize that we're almost doing it automatically. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it easy? No.
Yeah. Are there going to be failures?
Yes.
You know, so long as you're in a body of flesh like I am, yeah, there's going to be failures. And that's where I can draw I can draw encouragement from God's word, because it says that when I am faithless, that God remains faithful. And I can, that is so encouraging to me, because, you know, God cannot deny Himself. God cannot lie. Yes. He cannot be faithless. He is always faithful, and so even when I fail, He is always going to be the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and I will always be able to rely on Him, to trust in Him, and His incredible loyalty towards His children.
Matthew 28:20, in the second part of that verse, says, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age."
Mm-hmm.
That is a commitment. That is loyalty from our Lord for
That's
us.
Right. And we're called to be like Christ.
Be holy because I am holy.
That's
right. And you know what? Do that topic. We might have to do that one too one of these days.
I don't want to do that one.
We'll find out how holy you've been on your vacation when you come back. But blessings on your trip and with you and your family.
Thank you, brother.
How about praying for our brothers who are listening right now?
All right. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just praise You that when we are faithless, that You remain faithful, God. I just ask that You would lead us by Your Spirit, Father, that we might become more like You, empowered to Your service, that our yes is yes and our no is no, Father, and that we would be loyal to You, that we would be loyal to our family, that we would demonstrate Your loyalty to all those that we love and You've placed in our lives. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.